What does it mean to be lost? When we are driving in the car and we're heading someplace and we seem to be off course, when the children were younger, they would say, "We lost Dad." And my wife said, "Well, we need to stop and ask someone." I said, "Well, we're not lost. We're just on an adventure." But what does it mean when we think about this thought of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost"? What does it mean to be lost? It is more than just not having direction. The idea of being lost is being disconnected from the Creator God. It's being disconnected, being alienated from God. And so you are left to wander, knowing no which way to go. He has given us instruction in His Word. He has given the commandments. He has given everything that we might know the way that we ought to take. But when we're lost, we don't even want to hear them. And we're lost in a condition that we don't even know where we're going. Lostness has to do with not even having an appreciation of where we've come from. We talked a little bit about this last night. How we have been blinded by the eyes of, our minds blinded by the enemy so that we don't even know where we've come from. We don't know where we are, and then we don't know where we're going. That is lostness. We don't understand that God in His purpose and in His design has designed you and He has designed me that we might enjoy the fullness of pleasure in knowing Him. And when that is not the reality, we're lost. We are left to wander. We're left to blow about with every wind that comes our way. And this is not just for unbelievers, but even believers might get lost because we have not been attentive to the Word of God, not attentive to the directions that He wants to give us. And the perils that come from doing that are very real. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. In the pathway of being lost, the consequences of actions are very real. The consequences of thoughts are very real. And He says, "I've come to seek and to save those who have no idea where they are and no idea where they're going." That's the ones who my heart has set out. I am seeking those, and I want to deliver them from such a condition. The condition of lostness. It's not difficult to have a sense of lostness. When I don't spend time and not only the study and understanding of God's Word, but in the application of God's Word and work through difficult matters that affect us in this life and seek and get before God and ask Him to show me the way, I can be lost. Even though I might be redeemed and gloriously saved and go into heaven, the Lord wants us to understand the depth of what it means to be lost so that we can gain a great appreciation of Him as our Savior. Paul in 1 Timothy says something else. He says, "This is a faithful saying," 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, worthy to be accepted by all, received by all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So He came to save the lost, and He came to save sinners. We all know what a sinner is, right? A sinner is one who falls short of the standard that God establishes. But it's so much more, because we have to really capture and understand and be reminded of the depth of what that means. The Bible says that the one who remains in his sins, the one who is a sinner, the one who practices what is contrary to the holiness and the revelation of God's will, is subject to condemnation. The judgment of God is revealed from heaven from all those who commit these practices, Romans 1 tells us. That sinning is not only falling short, but in the act of falling short, in the act of disobeying, transgressing God's law, the consequence is that we stand under condemnation. There is a real peril. Flee the wrath to come, the Lord Jesus Christ would say. We've grown a little too comfortable, myself included, with what sin really is. We've grown a little too accommodating and a little too excusing. And it helps us to just get back to really appreciate that when we think of sin, when we think of the fact that God is holy, that God is without sin, that he is more righteous to behold than to behold iniquity, and we really, really understand that his judgment is declared against all manner of sin, and we understand the depth of that peril, it gives us an adjustment in our lives with regards to what we allow and what we entertain and what we pursue and what we go after. It gives us a real sense with regards to our own experience and our own walk, how the things that I do and I say and the attitudes I embrace, whether or not they meet with his approval. We were once sinners, fallen short of the glory of God, but the great peril and the great danger is that we are under condemnation. And that's not a message that we often hear preached. That the sinner is under condemnation. That the judgment of God is revealed against sin. What we love and we really appreciate is that God is long-suffering and he's merciful, that he has not executed his justice. And we're thankful for that, because if he executed his justice, who could stand? Which of us in this room could be able to stand if God were to exercise his justice with regards to what's going on in our lives? We need a Savior. We need a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ says that when you commit sin, you become a bondslave. You become enslaved to it. It's a debilitating condition when you are so occupied and so fallen short of the glory of God and pursuing and going against everything that God has declared and made known in his word. It says it's a enslaving reality. He that commits sin is a slave to sin. The consequences are real.